You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. A little nervous tonight, folks. I have a live audience standing here looking directly in my left ear. Louisiana. HCR 13, the Conference of the States resolution, was soundly defeated in the Louisiana House of Representatives today by a vote of 59 to 27. 19 were absent, not voting. But don't celebrate yet, because there is still a Conference of the States resolution in the Louisiana Senate, which is SCR 28. And it's pending in the Committee on Senate and Governmental Affairs. This will be the next battleground, and we will be watching and writing and phoning and faxing in order to crush this measure once and for all. For information, call Fred, area code 504-748-8354. That's 504-748-8354. That's one of those double whammo states where they introduce one in both houses so that if one gets defeated, they still have a chance on the other one. So don't let your guard down and don't let this slip through. If you do, shame, shame, shame on you. And I hate to tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, because I just can't stand being right when I'm right about these things. A pipe bomb located under a wheelchair access ramp exploded around 2:15 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at the Provincial Legislature Building in Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island, Canada. The legislature was in session. The bomb blew out the windows on three floors. The glass came in on the legislators. One person sitting on a bench outside the building was injured. No suspects have been found. Security has been beefed up. I told you this will escalate. And I'm not joking, ladies and gentlemen. This is not funny. They will do anything. The end justifies the means is their philosophy. If you read my book, you know what I'm talking about. You know what they're prepared to do. Anything. Anything and everything to get their utopian world government, so that there will be peace forever. They're the best liars who have ever lived. Liars, deceivers, manipulators. They don't want peace. They want control. Total and complete control. Power. Wealth. They want it all. And if we're not careful, they're going to get it all. Have you been listening to the bullshit on television and all across the radio and all the call-ins from the sheeple of the world about this bombing in Oklahoma City? It is disgusting. It's more than disgusting. It is indicative of the intellectual vacuum between the ears of the sheeple of the world. Wait till you find out what's going on in Oklahoma City. You'll get a better picture of the truth. Unfortunately, it is a shame. You wonder how this could work? Well, just listen. Listen to the television. Listen to the radio talk shows. Listen to the hosts. Listen to the people that call in, and then call me back. By then, you should know that it's going to work just absolutely perfectly. Ex-Congressperson David McCurdy was on the phone from one of the local stations in Oklahoma City within 2 or 3 hours of the blast yesterday. Some of his comments were to the effect that there's a large Islamic population and many Islamic groups in Oklahoma City, and that they have had speakers from the Middle East, some supposedly belonging to Islamic Jihad and Hezbollah. He made statements that it is a good possibility one of these groups or another Islamic group is at fault, and of the large number of Islamic students and people in the United States. And this all led up to a pitch. Guess what, folks? Remember what we talked about some time ago? This just lying in Congress, waiting to be passed? Remember every time a piece of gun legislation was coming up in Congress, somebody would walk into a McDonald's somewhere and blow away a whole bunch of people? I wrote about that in my book. I said it would happen. I told you it was going to happen. I told you who these people would be. And I told you that this was going to happen too. And unfortunately, I'm right. You see, the omnibus counterterrorism bill is sitting in Congress and has all kinds of opposition up until now. Watch it. Watch it be put on a freight train and pass through Congress, and the president will sign it before you can blink your eyes. The omnibus counterterrorism bill. It and other similar bills, which will implement a heavier, tighter police state, so that the government can protect us from terrorists. And in that counterterrorism bill, it gives the President of the United States, old Willie Clinton, all around him, dead bodies are lying. What's the count now? Way up in the 30s, I think. Linda Thompson can tell you. She's keeping an exact count. Gives him the ability to name any group he wishes as a terrorist group. There is no appeal. There is no nothing. Anyone he wants to name as a terrorist group, he could name. You better not let it pass, but I'm telling you right now, after that bombing yesterday, there's nothing you can do to stop it. It will pass. I don't care if the whole country got up and screamed to stop it. It will pass. I'm telling you now, it will pass. I'm also telling you to do everything you can to stop it, but I'm telling you, you won't be able to. But don't sit back and not do anything. Please. Please. Do it. On the news, they made mention that in addition to the National Guard, they also had Air Force personnel from Tinker Air Force Base acting as perimeter guards around the federal building. This, as you know, is in violation of Posse Comitatus. But they don't care. And neither do the people in Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City, whether you know it or not, is under complete martial law. Complete martial law. There are tens of thousands, not just a few hundred, not just a thousand or two, tens of thousands of military, National Guard, police officers from every part of the country. FEMA has taken over. There are armored personnel carriers. There are military vehicles, generators, military trucks all over the place. Why? Why? You can't tell me, can you? Because the building blew up? Some people are dead. That's unfortunate. We all hate that. But why have tens of thousands of military personnel, police officers, prison guards, reservists, National Guard, and Air Force personnel taken over the entire city of Oklahoma City? Could this be some kind of drill? I don't know the answer to that, but I know that what is happening is way beyond what is called for. They even mentioned that local and state authorities were manning an outer perimeter and the National Guard and Air Force were manning the inner perimeter. A very good way to keep everybody real far away from finding out anything that maybe they shouldn't. It was also mentioned that the FBI had collected film or tape from several surveillance cameras mounted in parking lots of other surrounding buildings. The telephone company was specifically mentioned. These will be checked to see if they can spot the bomb vehicle and possibly any suspects. The question is, if they do, will the FBI tell the public? Will the public be able to examine these tapes and films? We'll see. And on the scanners yesterday, ladies and gentlemen, very clearly it was stated on the scanners by the officials on the scene that they had found a second bomb. A second bomb. Everyone in the area, even remotely near that building, was told that they had found a second explosive device and were evacuated far away. The press was evacuated far away. No one was allowed near after that time. Now, if this was a hoax and there really was not a second explosive device, why did they call in the bomb truck, which proceeded to the scene? The second explosive device was discussed on the scanners back and forth between the law enforcement personnel, BATF, and others. Eventually, after several hours, it was clearly stated on the scanner that the second device had been disarmed, and incredibly, and in a fearful voice, the law enforcement officer who was speaking said that it was a military bomb. Nothing was mentioned about it after that point. The public was told that there was no second explosive device, and it was never mentioned again. What is the truth? Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know. I don't know. But this is beginning to stink even worse than it did when it began. There was a telephone interview with an architectural engineer who had worked on building the federal building. He said that the bomb was placed in an area which would cause the most damage. His opinion was that whoever was responsible probably had access to the drawings of the building's construction and knowledge of building engineering. Today, they are saying that the bomb was a fertilizer bomb soaked in fuel oil. Now, I have experience with that kind of thing, ladies and gentlemen. When I was a diver, we used ammonium nitrate and potassium nitrate soaked in diesel fuel as an explosive on occasion because it's a slow-burning explosive and it's easy to control. It can also be coated with grease and taken underwater. We don't have to worry about the explosives getting wet and not working. Nor did we have to worry about manufacturing some kind of waterproof device to house the explosives in, which would have directed its force in some direction that we did not want it to go. So I know about fertilizer soaked in diesel fuel is what we use. You could use any kind of fuel oil. And so do a lot of other people. In the military, it's known as a field expedient explosive. It is not a first choice by any means. It's slow burning. If you stack several bags of fertilizer soaked in fuel oil or diesel fuel together with the paper between them, sometimes one or two or more of the bags will not even detonate. I can tell you from looking at the damage of that building and the great crater in front of the building that that was not made with a fertilizer soaked in diesel fuel bomb. In fact, it's impossible. Whatever did that damage was a fast-burning, high explosive of the type used only in military weapons. And I have extensive experience with that kind of explosive from my time in Vietnam. Any explosive expert can tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, and they'll tell you that I have just told you right on the truth. And from the extent of the damage on one side of where the crater is, which apparently was a bomb in a car or some kind of vehicle parked outside the building, and the lack of damage on the other side, it appears to me that there were two bombs. And I cannot prove this right now, but just looking and assessing from my own personal experience, working with explosives as a diver, and from my experience with explosives and military weapons in Vietnam, it appears to me that there were two explosives, one in a vehicle parked outside the building, and one inside the building. And from the way the damage appears to have been set up on that building, the second explosive would have had to been on the lower floors or underneath the first floor. Now that's my assessment based upon experience. It is not fact, and you should not treat it as fact, but I will tell you something that is fact. A fertilizer explosive soaked in fuel oil could not have done the damage to the building that was done, nor would it have dug a crater that you see in the ground outside that building. Fertilizer soaked in fuel is a slow-burning explosive. Whatever made that damage was a high explosive, fast burning, such as that used in military weapons. So, do with that what you will. That is what we know here. Local TV stations have been broadcasting all day that four arrests have been made in the bombing of the federal building in Oklahoma City. The information came to KWTV Channel 9 Television, a CBS affiliate, from an unnamed New York law enforcement source. That sounds suspiciously like the ADL, to tell you the truth. Asad Siddiqui and Mohammed Chafi were arrested in Dallas, Texas. Now listen to this, folks. These people may be Islamic, and they may be from the Middle East, but they are not stupid. They ask a highway patrolman for directions. The officer noticed that the license plate number did not match the number which should have been on their vehicle, so he arrested them. This was a rental car. It is not unusual for rental car companies to receive several different rental cars in brand new from the factory, throw the plates and a bunch of stickers to some 14-year-old kid and tell him to go out and put them on the cars. And sometimes they get mixed up. I'm not saying that's what's happened here, but I don't think someone who blew up the federal building in Oklahoma City would stop a highway patrolman in asking for directions if they had a phony plate on their car. You see, Islamic fundamentalist or Middle East does not equate to stupid. And if you don't believe me, find some people from the Middle East who belong to the Islamic religion and talk to them, and you'll find out that they're very smart. The officer noticed that the license plate number did not match and arrested them. The brother of Siddiqui was also arrested at some undisclosed place in Oklahoma. A fourth suspect was arrested at Heathrow Airport in Great Britain after being identified by an immigration agent. And this unnamed suspect was traveling with a U.S. passport and had taken a flight out of Chicago to Heathrow. Our sources say that he is not a suspect and he is not a witness. But that he was filming in that area that morning. The Associated Press was making the announcement about the arrest in Britain. And we got the information about the other three arrests. Britain is presently detaining the fourth suspect and has agreed to have him returned to the United States. Once again, I will tell you, the man being detained in Britain is not a suspect. Our station chief penned a little note to me. She says, "I get it, but I don't. What stupid ways for all of those guys to get arrested. Nobody is really that stupid. Maybe they wanted to be arrested, or maybe they were somehow set up with the FBI running the show. We'll probably hear the real story." And then she sent me another fax and said she was real sleepy when she wrote that, and she meant, "We'll probably never hear the real story." And she says, "This one doesn't pass muster. Even the local newscasters are reporting this latest episode with slightly raised eyebrows. There's not something right here." I'm going to take a short nap, Bill. My engine has temporarily run out of steam. God bless all. Michelle. She was up all night, as have been many other of our best people. And here's a report from David in Oklahoma City. "Today," this is him talking, "today I had the unfortunate task of visiting the most physically and spiritually intense place I have ever been in my entire life. That place is downtown Oklahoma City, which is now literally under martial law, just like you might imagine it in a nightmare. That place is downtown Oklahoma City, which is now literally under martial law, just like you might imagine it in a nightmare." He says, "I would estimate between 40,000 and 50,000 people in the downtown Oklahoma City area, evenly divided between civilians, law enforcement personnel, and members of the military. I observed many, many officers from Oklahoma City Police, Oklahoma National Guard, Oklahoma Highway Patrol, Oklahoma Department of Corrections, policemen from almost every city in the state, ATF, FBI, and firefighters from every possible area. Oddly enough, I even saw about 30 men wearing jackets which said Sacramento United States Army Reserve. There is no town in Oklahoma called Sacramento. Physically, it is the most controlled environment I've ever seen, and spiritually the most depressing. Thousands and thousands, no exaggeration, of people with two things on their mind, fear and grief. Thousands of press people from around the world are all trying to achieve the same thing, get the inside story, and no one is allowed to do so, not even the majors. There's now a total information blackout in downtown Oklahoma City. And the only people who are getting even close to the truth are intelligence service members and CAGI members. Why? Well, if I told you that, it wouldn't be any fun, would it?" After he found a parking place, which was a genuine miracle, he was putting money in the parking meter, and a civilian in a business suit walked past and said, quote, "You don't have to put any money in there. It's martial law in Oklahoma City," end quote. He says, "After I finally found a parking place," nope, I just read that paragraph. "When I was in Oklahoma City right at 12 noon, all of the press people were being sent to the Civic Center if they wanted any information at all, a bit more than a quarter mile walk from the federal building. None of the police or military personnel guarding the perimeter would say anything to the press, period. In fact, the press were segregated to one side of the street away from ordinary citizens like myself. Police officers would say, quote, 'Anyone from the press, move to that side of the street,' end quote, and this order was obediently carried out. People like me were merely told to get out of the way. Armored personnel carriers, cargo trucks, Humvees, Jeeps, and extremely large electric generators lined the streets, every single street. Helicopters constantly buzzed the area at a very low altitude, just like you see in the movies, dodging in and out of the skyline, avoiding the buildings, and making quick lifts in altitude to avoid crashing into Oklahoma City's tallest building, Liberty Towers." Liberty Towers, indeed. Isn't this absolutely amazing? He goes on. He says, I spoke with five Oklahoma City police officers, one National Guardsman, and was shooed away from the intersection of 7th and Walker by a man in a black SWAT uniform whose OD identification patch read, Oklahoma Department of Corrections, Prisons. And this gets really ridiculous, folks. This is absolutely, in fact, amazing. This is a full drill takeover of an American city after a staged incident. That's right. If you were listening last night, you know why I say that. I predicted it for a long time. And I'm going to tell you it's going to escalate. And it's all about more control of your lives by the government and eventually the United Nations, one world, totalitarian, socialist state. And you can listen to all these other blithering idiots, and you can banner around all these theories and all these things if you want to. What I just told you is right on the mark. And if it's not, how come I knew about it a long time ago? How come I wrote about it in my book? How come I told you New York City was going to be hit by a major terrorist attack? How come I knew that it would be blamed upon Islamic fundamentalists? How come I knew that they would have direct connections to the Central Intelligence Agency long before anybody else knew? How come I told you that more terrorist attacks would come and it would escalate, and the power of the state would escalate exponentially along with it? Don't go away. I might come back.
Some people say I'm a no-cop, others say I'm no good, but I'm just a knuckleball traveling man, doing what I think I should. Oh yeah, doing what I think I should.
The world of entertainment up here.
I don't give a damn about a thing like a dollar. Listen to touches of shame. For a raven song and a pick it up. The only thing that I understand,
good
boy, the only thing that I understand.
When I was a little baby, and my mama said, hey son, travel where you will and grow to be a man. Sing what must be sung, good boy, you better sing what must be sung.
The hour of the time is brought to you, ladies and gentlemen, by Swiss America Trading. It's the only firm that deals in real money, hard assets, non-confiscatable, non-reportable hard assets, real money as defined in the statutes of the United States of America as being the only money for the United States of America, as defined in the Constitution. No state shall tender in payment of debts anything other than gold or silver coin, and that should tell you that the Constitution is not in effect. If it was, you would have some gold or silver coin, or you would have some real currency. Currency is what can be exchanged for gold or silver coin. It takes the place of it. Receipts for storage, if you will. But you don't have any. You're going to need some. So call our sponsor, Swiss America Trading, 1-800-289-2646. And don't be so carefree. You see, every time you buy something with that phony counterfeit Federal Reserve notes, you don't really own it. That's why you stopped getting an allodial patent title to your land and began to be given warrant deeds, which warrant that a deed exists, but you don't have it because you're not the real owner.
that's when you stopped getting the title to your car and began getting a certificate of title, because you don't own that car. You can't pay for something that has real value, substance, with an instrument of debt. Sooner or later, someone has to pay for all this stuff, or else the true owner will come and take it all back. You think I'm crazy, huh? Well, you just stick around. It's going to get worse fast. The United States Attorney General is a murderess. She murdered men, women, and little children in Waco, Texas, and now today on television, she had the guts to offer a $2 million reward for the instigators of the bombing of the federal building in Oklahoma City, and she said she was worried about our women and children. Call now and get your hands on some real money. You're going to need it. It might save your life one of these days. 1-800-289-2646. 1-800-289-2646. Have you counted the bodies surrounding Clinton yet? It's well over 30. One of these nights I'll have Linda Thompson on and we'll give you a count name by name and circumstance by circumstance. You don't want to know Clinton very well. You might end up dead.
The only thing that I understand, oh boy, the only thing that I understand.
Next week we'll learn how to play it on his guitar.
Now that I'm a grown man, I've traveled here and there. I've learned that a bottle of brandy and a song, the only ones to ever care, oh boy, the only ones to ever care.
Well, no one, ladies and gentlemen, was allowed inside the perimeter in Oklahoma City without a pass. All passes are being issued by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Our man asked the first policeman with whom he spoke how he could get in, and the policeman said, "You can't get in, but if you could get in, you would need a pass." He asked him how to get a pass, and he said, "Go stand in line at 8th and Walker." He did his best to follow the instructions. However, no one was allowed to stand in line without a pass. He asked a second policeman how he could get a pass from the FBI, and he said, "You can't." He asked the same question and received the exact same answer from a National Guardsman. He then asked a third policeman about the jurisdiction of the FBI and the Oklahoma City Police. He seemed confused, totally exhausted, and walked away without comment to do something that he thought was more important. A fourth police officer responded to that same question by saying, and I quote, "The FBI are in charge of the crime scene. The guy that's in charge of the crime scene drives the train. Get it?" Well, our man got it. A fifth policeman finally tackled the question, and we got his response on tape, and here is that little exchange. Listen carefully.
I'd be okay. Maybe you got a minute? Yes, good. Okay. But I was watching TV last night, and they were talking about how the crime scene itself was the building, and that it was, under the jurisdiction of the FBI, that's right, and then that the perimeter or the area around it was secured by Oklahoma City Police. And then I was asking this fellow down here,
I think I can answer your question.
they are watching it. We are trying to help them protect the crime scene.
And there you have it. He said the whole area is a crime scene. The whole city is under martial law. The whole city is a crime scene. our man on his fax says, wow. All of the police and military personnel in charge of the perimeter were extremely polite, but made it very clear they were not going to take any crap off of anybody. He uses another word here, but I can't use that on radio, or choose not to anyway. Occasionally, a young buck in uniform would act in a very Rambo-like manner, but most of the officials seemed as sad as everybody else that they had to be there. At 8th and Harvey, there was a never-ending line of firemen going in and out of the perimeter. He says, I was able to view the bombed building from a distance, as was anyone who wanted to do a bit of walking. The guarded perimeter encloses a 25-square-block area. The north boundary is 7th Street. The south is Robert S. Kerr Boulevard. The east is Broadway, and the west boundary is Hudson Street. The federal building looked much worse in real life than it did on television, and there is a 30-foot diameter crater in front of the building. Glass literally carpets the streets. I parked about 6 blocks away from the perimeter and walked to the nearest vantage point, and there was glass strewn everywhere for the entire distance. The street was also littered with horse manure, as if there had been mounted police on duty, but I didn't see any officers on horseback. One business I walked past had a stack of plywood out in front with a sign on it that said, Plywood, $15 a sheet. Glass companies were everywhere, replacing windows and doors. I met a nice lady from Norway who was with the press. She got nowhere trying to get inside the perimeter. She was accompanied by a sound man and cameraman who seemed surprised that I knew what a Shure mic mixer was. I also met a man from Los Angeles who was with the press and was very angry that he was going to have to walk all the way to the Civic Center to find out anything. Well, if you ever lived in Los Angeles, you'd understand that. No one in Los Angeles walks. Except the poor. The very poor. Los Angeles is an automobile-oriented city. If you don't have a car, you are nothing. So understandably, somebody from Los Angeles who would be angry if he had to walk a couple of blocks. He says, I spoke to him about the issue of jurisdiction between the federal and local authorities, and he merely shrugged his shoulders and said, and I quote, these people can do anything they want to, and we can't do a thing about it, end quote. He was a member of the press. And that's the way it is. It's martial law, and the federal government is clearly in charge. Ain't no doubt about it. More later, as it occurs, Dave. And the last dispatch from Oklahoma City from our station chief, which we received just a few moments ago. At this hour, rescue workers have recovered 52 bodies from the scene of the explosion. Remember last night, the government was saying over 80 were dead? It was a lie. Nobody knows how many are dead. It will probably exceed 80. But at this time, there are only 52 dead bodies that have been recovered from the scene of the explosion. The precarious condition of the building allows only 40 firefighters at a time to work in 90-minute shifts, wearing protective gear, gloves, ventilation masks, and respirators. A telephone number was established for people to call who had been in the building at the time of the explosion. From the responses to that call, it has been determined that 700 people, which includes approximately 400 injured persons, survived the explosion. There are now at least an additional 150 persons still missing in the rubble and debris, and the number could be higher. The First Christian Church has taken information from all of the families of the missing, obtaining physical descriptions, dental records, and information concerning what items of clothing or jewelry the missing persons might have been wearing on the day of the explosion. The bodies of the dead victims will be removed from the temporary morgue set up on the west side of the federal building tomorrow. The governor has declared tomorrow a day of statewide mourning, and boy, you can tell it's election time. President and Mrs. Clinton are expected to attend, accompanied by the Reverend Billy Graham. Flags have been lowered to half-staff. The Federal Bureau of Investigation agent in charge of the on-site investigation is Weldon Kennedy. We learned late last night that our station chief's brother-in-law's father had been in the federal building at 8 a.m. doing some early morning business and had left the building at 8:30 a.m. to return to his office. 34 minutes later, the explosion occurred. We thank God that none of our people or any of their relatives were in that building. From our station chief, more later, signed Michelle. We've got about 15 minutes, folks. We'll open the phones and get your comments, your remarks. Maybe some of you were there and can tell us what you saw. The number is 602-337-2524. That's 602-337-2524, and we'll take your calls for the rest of this hour. Once again, for those who may have just begun listening to the hour of the time, 602-337-2524. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? I'm calling up about yesterday on Chuck Carter's show, where somebody called up about his fiance being in the building and getting out 1 minute after the explosion. She was in the lobby, and she said that there was a huge black helicopter hovering over the building 1 minute after getting out. It wasn't 5 minutes or 10 minutes later after the explosion had gotten around town and everybody knew about it. She claimed she saw this happening.
We've heard this also, but we can find no substantiation from anybody who was on the scene. And until we do, we can't report that as being fact, and we don't like to spread rumors. So, but we thank you for that input.
And also, I'd like to ask, why aren't they letting all the stations go right up to the front of the building? Is this like it sounds like the same thing as Waco, where they moved everybody back while they threw away the evidence.
Ah, the light went off in your head.
Yeah.
You're thinking.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. You see, the press could be allowed to go pretty close to that building without hampering or interfering with anybody. What is happening in Oklahoma City is way beyond what is called for. It's almost like a war-torn city invaded by an occupying force. In fact, that's exactly what it is. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Bob from Rhode Island. I've talked to you before. One thing I just wanted to put out there is that when we get a list of the number of judges and FBI agents, Secret Service agents, and other officers that were in that building, perhaps how many have died, and we'll get a better handle on exactly who might have been the perpetrators in this activity.
The perpetrators are in Langley, Virginia, my friend.
Well, is there any list available yet?
Not that I know of, but you should be able to get a list directly out of the Oklahoma City phone book of the offices that were in that building.
No, I mean the offices, the individuals, the FBI agents, the Secret Service agents, the judges.
This was an attack on an individual. This was an attack on the American people.
Yes, I understand that.
By a socialist totalitarian...
You know what I'm getting at is if all of these judges and officials were on assignment somewhere else that day, that they weren't in the building, and only the expendable people were in there, like from the agricultural department,
oh, well, that
or their offices. You follow me?
That could be an interesting pursuit, and I think we have somebody already checking that out.
Good. I'll be waiting for that information. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling. Folks, when you call, try to get to the point. Don't play guessing games, because I can't read your mind. I've never claimed to be psychic. All of my friends can tell you that I have never demonstrated any psychic ability whatsoever, except maybe a little bit in Vietnam when the hair used to stand up on the back of my neck. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Bill. This is Michelle in Oklahoma.
Hello.
I spoke with the other intelligence service person that you connected me with. She called me this afternoon to tell me that her connections observed Connie Chung arriving in a limousine, and she had no problem whatsoever getting what she wanted. So we should be seeing something on the news pretty soon with Connie Chung on the scene.
Oh, you mean no press were allowed to approach, but Connie Chung was able to drive right up to the building in a limousine?
Allegedly so. Not right up to the federal building, no, but right up to whoever she wanted to see on the scene.
Uh-huh.
You would need to call back your intelligence operative on that particular issue, that this is just what she told me this afternoon.
Okay.
And then the latest thing that's coming down the pike is that Janet Reno is issuing a $2 million reward for information leading to the arrest and conviction of whoever did it, and now they're looking for two Caucasian males.
Yes.
So, that's... Janet Reno was asked, does she have any hunches, and she just said, I don't do hunches.
she just burns women and children.
Right. But I thought I'd pass that on because I couldn't get it to you in time before your show began.
Thank you, Michelle.
You're welcome.
By the way, folks, that is the Michelle.
Good night.
And I don't know if she's going to be up all night tonight or not. Also, folks, we're changing our area code number here, and I keep forgetting to give it to you. The new area code is 520. So from now on, you'll call 520-337-2524, and the 2524 is going to change beginning Monday, and I'll give you that number tomorrow night. So make sure that you're listening. Good evening. You're on the air.
William, this is Paul on the left coast.
Hello, Paul.
Really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
As a matter of fact, I came over and bought some property in Sholo. I'm still trying to get back to put something on it, but I'll do that.
Wonderful.
Had you heard that the University of Oklahoma recorded two blasts on their their seismometer?
No, I had not heard that. And
something that could be checked out. I have no idea if it's true. But
well, we'll certainly find out. This is the first that I've heard of it, and it was not announced on any of the local stations in Oklahoma City. Where did you hear this?
I can believe that. I truly can't tell you now. Somewhere on the Patriot Networks, I just picked it up. But it would be simple enough to find out.
Oh, very easy to find out. We have people right in Norman, Oklahoma, where the University of Oklahoma is at. And we will send somebody right over there. In fact, probably somebody listening is on their way. Right now, I'll bet.
Listen, thanks a lot for the sanity. I've been away from my shortwave, and I've been having to watch this stuff and try to interpret between the lines, and your take on it sounds a hell of a lot more reasonable to me than anything I've heard in the last few days.
Oh, it's right on the money. I can guarantee you this is exactly what's going on.
Well, I believe it. I hate to think that they would do it, but it certainly is self-serving whether they did or didn't.
Yeah. The end justifies the means is their philosophy, ordo ab caeo.
Why, this is going to burnish so many people. Look at what it does to the BATF.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, look what it does to the FBI.
Sure.
The president's looking presidential now.
Oh, yeah, and how convenient. It just buried the whole issue of Waco, Texas, didn't
it? Got it. It's gone.
Well, it's not gone here.
I bet you Congress doesn't even talk about it.
It's not gone here. And we'll talk about it. We'll rub their noses in it.
I understand.
Janet Reno is a murderer.
You got it.
William Clinton is a murderer.
She should be standing trial. And Congress was going to get into, well, they say they were going to get into Waco. And I bet you they don't now.
Well, what they're going to get into is the omnibus counterterrorism bill.
It'll be pushed through. If they want to get reelected, they'll figure that they've got to vote for it. Ridiculous. Anyway, keep up the good work.
Thank you for calling.
All right, guys.
520-337-2524. That's 520-337-2524. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to see if anybody there had heard early in CNN's coverage, an FBI agent whose name I don't remember because I was too sleepy at the time, reported that there had been faxed warnings to the building.
Well, we know that that is correct.
Is it? Okay, because since I saw that, I got the videotape pop in, and nothing I've videotaped since then off CNN has even mentioned that factoid. That has been reported later on?
Yeah, not only that, but we have, and I'm looking for it here. I wasn't going to report it tonight, but maybe I will. Nope, that's not it either. We have a report from people on the scene from a United States Navy super top secret installation that the day before, which was Tuesday, they held a bomb drill in one of their major installation buildings, and the drill involved an explosive in a car in the front of the building exactly the day before.
Uh-huh.
We also have from other people in government installations that they were informed that there would be a terrorist attack on a government building sometime soon. And so these kinds of drills and things were going on all across the country. So somebody knew something.
Yeah.
And some facilities were preparing in case they were the target.
Cool. By the way, I also heard the same report as your previous caller had about the two blasts being recorded on the seismograph.
Well, that fits with our assessment. We had not heard that, but my assessment of the damage there was that there had to be two explosives.
Yeah, absolutely. Keep up the good work, Bill.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Good night. 520-337-2524. That's interesting. I've got to find out the source of that. We will get somebody to Oklahoma University and check with the, I guess it would be the geology department, which would be running the seismographs, and we will let you know what we discover. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening. Bill, I remember when you were talking shortly after the World Trade Center bombing, and you said when this would escalate, you know, eventually the people would, you know, beg for a solution, give up their freedom. And I hate to say it, but down here in a local newscast in Beaumont, Texas, they had a telephone, and the question was, and really woke me up when I saw the question. It says, would you be willing to give up your personal freedom, you know, to be more secure from terrorist attacks? And the percentage was about 78% said yes. And it just goes to show you how far everyone is behind in their thinking and everything.
I hate being right.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw that, it just, I said, golly.
Yeah, but it's exactly what I told you would happen, isn't it?
It's exactly what you said would happen.
Not only that, but they phrased the question in almost the exact words that I phrased it, didn't
they? You know, I'm wondering, I know some people down at that station, I'm going to call them and ask them where they got that question, if they just came up with it, if it was something off a wire or something like that. But yeah, it's exactly what you said. It's almost like you're a psychic. I know you're not.
No, I'm not. I've just done hard work for many, many years, and I know what's happening.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I'm really watching close, and and I'm really seeing the things that I wouldn't have seen, probably a couple of years ago before I started listening to your show and, looking out, looking at the world in a different way. But I just wanted to tell you about that. It's an unfortunate thing, though.
Yes, it is. Very unfortunate. And somebody should talk to the citizens of Beaumont, Texas, and tell them how absolutely stupid they are.
Yeah, I'm going to try that.
78%, huh?
78%.
Incredible. You watch that question will be asked across the country.
That's what I'm looking forward to. I'm not looking forward to it.
And don't be surprised if there's a nationwide poll.
Yeah, on ABC or something like
that. On network television, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Hey, thanks for the information. This is really, really, really great work you're doing. Thanks.
You're welcome. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Got time for one more call, folks, and that's it. 520-337-2524. If you get in, make your question or comment real short because we're out of time. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. This is Michelle from Montana.
Hello.
And I was just, you were mentioning that there were all the military vehicles in Oklahoma City.
Yes.
And Sunday afternoon, we live up above the railroad, we were watching, and there was a long train went by with just all kinds of, like, Humvees and all kinds of military vehicles heading east, which we've not seen before.
Uh-huh.
And we thought that was kind of interesting.
Okay, thank you for your comment. We're out of time. Well, folks, yes, there is more movement of military equipment, material, and vehicles in this country today than there ever was in World War II or Vietnam. Now, you'd better start asking yourself why and what's it leading to. I know the answer to that, and so do some of you, but the rest of you, if you've been reading issue number 2 of Veritas, but you get your head out of your you-know-what. Seek the light somewhere else. Good night, folks, and God bless each and every single one of you.
I'm walking, here's the thing I'm talking about. You and me, I'm hoping, and then you come back to me. I'm lonely, and I'm to be young, waiting for your company, I'm hoping, and then you come back to me. Now what you gonna do when the bell was right? You gonna run away and hide? I'm gonna run right by inside. You pretty baby, I ain't running down. I'm walking. Here's the dream I'm for. But you and me, I'm hoping that you come back to me. You and me, I'm hoping, and then you come back to me.